hear ye, hear ye. The Supreme Court of the State of South Dakota, the Honorable David Gilbertson presiding, is now open for the action of any action that may legally come before it.
Good morning.
I have the wrong file.
Oh, okay.
You have the wrong file.
Surely.
Thank you.
Okay, the first order, case for oral argument this morning is the State of South Dakota versus Marty Mueller. For the appellant, State of South Dakota, is Sherry Sundem Walden, Assistant Attorney General from Pierre. And for the appellee is Mr. Scott Ratland, an attorney from Watertown. Ms. Sundem Walden, you may proceed. You have 20 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The state is appealing from a suppression order entered by Judge Tim, wherein we are arguing that the trial court erred by suppressing the evidence that was obtained from a traffic stop. The defendant was indicted for DUI and driving under revocation, and he had had a supplemental third offense DUI information filed as well. Defendant filed a motion to suppress, which was granted. The state asked for reconsideration. That was denied. Findings of fact, conclusions of law were entered. The state filed a petition for intermediate appeal, which was granted by this court. The facts of this case, I don't think, for the most part, are in dispute. Officer Tim Toomey, Watertown police officer, observed a slow-moving yellow Firebird at approximately 1:42 in the morning. It was quite snowy out that night, so I guess the fact that he was driving slow isn't all that unusual. However, there was the loud exhaust, I believe, was one of the things that drew the officer's attention to the vehicle. He began to follow the vehicle. The vehicle took a lot of different turns, went northbound, westbound, southbound, westbound. The license plate was covered with snow, but he was able to see the numbers. So the officer called in the license plate. The dispatcher, Watertown dispatcher, told the officer that the plates were expired. Based upon that information from the dispatcher, Officer Toomey initiated his lights. The car traveled for another block. It turned northbound and then into a lot. Officer Toomey got out of his vehicle. He went and checked the license plate. The license plate had valid tags. So the officer was obviously confused. Dispatch had told him the plates were expired, but the plates seemed to have valid tags.
Whose mistake was it? Was it the dispatcher's mistake, or was it DMV's mistake, or some other police database that had wrong information?
I'm not certain of that. I don't think it's clear from the record where the mistake was. If it is in the record, I've missed it. I tried, quite frankly, from the record, it's still not clear to me whether there were valid tags or not valid tags. But I think that isn't really central to the issue here today.
So they may have been invalid. We just simply don't know.
Right. I think there was some testimony that from the defendant that they were valid. I guess my confusion from reading the record is the officer indicated that when he requested the vehicle registration, the defendant didn't have that. He later, as I understand things, went to a computer system to run the vehicle registration, and the information he obtained still came back as expired plates. So I think—
What did the court find?
Well, the court found that the plates were valid, and that it was when the information was logged into the computer that the plates were expired, that was accurate at that time, but it was no longer accurate.
So in other words, the court took the word of the defendant that he had validated the plates, and that was good enough for the court.
Well, I guess you could read the court's decision that way. The court also found that at one time the information was logged into the computer and it was valid.
But that'd be the prior year, wouldn't it?
I would assume. I mean, I think there's some assumptions that went into the findings, quite frankly. But The court did find that the computer information the officer received was invalid. It's the state's position that whether those plates were actually valid or not valid is not central to the decision this court has to make today.
There's no evidence that that the defendant phonied up the tag or took one off somebody else's car or anything, or added that to the license plate.
No, and I don't mean to insinuate that with the court. There's no evidence one way or the other what happened, quite frankly. I think what the record does show is that the dispatcher indicated the plates were invalid. The plates had a valid tag. That's what we do know, and that the trial court did find that the tags were valid, is my recollection of the findings of the court. I can stand before the court and argue that, based upon the record, that finding is clearly erroneous, but I don't think the court needs to make a determination as to the validity of the tags.
You can't say it's clearly erroneous, but, you know, maybe it's not proven beyond a reasonable doubt, you know, but you know, because the trial court's got a right to accept what the defendant said, right?
Yeah, yes. And the defendant did testify that the tags were valid. The officer just said he was still confused. He didn't know at the time of the suppression hearing about the validity of the tags. But I think what's...
Is it in the record who actually is responsible for entering that information correctly or incorrectly?
No, it's not.
Okay.
The record doesn't go into what happened, quite frankly. So I can't be
said it's by an agency. The findings were that an agency of the state, the officer is an agent of the state, therefore that's what he relied on and to suppress it. Is that correct?
The findings I don't think were that detailed, quite frankly. The findings were simply that the tags were valid and the officer pulled the defendant over because he believed the tags were invalid when in fact they were valid. And that was a violation of defendant's constitutional rights. That's where the findings of the trial court went.
Well, don't we have to just assume the trial court's language was a computer inaccuracy? So, that's what we have to review here.
Correct. Correct.
So whether a computer inaccuracy is sufficient or whether it vitiates a valid stop.
Yes, that is the issue of today. Whether we don't know where the problem, quite frankly, arose from
well,
the
you,
record.
You petitioned for an intermediate appeal, and you basically petitioned on the basis of the issue of the objectiveness. And if my recollection is correct, you kind of conceded the point to the trial court that in the petition that the plates were valid. Is that a fair recollection of how it got here?
I don't remember. To be candid with you, I didn't write up the petition for.
Okay. Well,
but my brief, I think, what I argued to this court was that the validity of the plates is the trial court did find that they were valid.
Okay.
Although the record leaves that up in the air my mind.
Okay. Well, we burned up 8 minutes on that. Why don't we get to the objective versus the subject?
Okay. On a motion to suppress, this court's review is de novo. Whether there's reasonable suspicion to stop is a question of law that's reviewed de novo. It's our argument that there was reasonable suspicion to stop this vehicle. Under the Fourth Amendment, certainly drivers are protected against unreasonable searches and seizures. However, vehicles can be stopped. This court has said that law enforcement can make limited intrusions on an individual's personal security based on less than probable cause. This was a brief investigatory traffic stop that fit within the exception to the Fourth Amendment in the South Dakota Constitution. The officer's acts were supported by reasonable suspicion to believe criminal activity may be afoot. In other words, he had a dispatcher that told him that these plates were expired. It's 1:42 in the morning. Obviously, it's dark. The plates are snow-covered. He's told the plates were expired. He pulls the vehicle over. When he goes to talk to he checks the plates and he sees there is a valid tag. He goes to talk to the defendant, explain to him why he pulled him over, and he immediately notices bloodshot eyes. He smells the odor of alcohol on the defendant's breath. As we've talked about, The trial court found that he should never have stopped the defendant because the plates were not expired. And so never got to the reasonable objective standard for the officer's actions. Just made the decision that there was no reason for a stop and therefore everything should be suppressed. The state agrees you must have reasonable suspicion to stop a vehicle. There's no question about that. It can't be the product of mere whim, caprice, or idle curiosity. It must be based on specific and articulable facts together with rational inferences from those facts to warrant the intrusion. But here it's the state's argument that the officer had reasonable suspicion based upon objective standards. Would the facts observable to the officer at the time of the stop entitle that officer of reasonable caution to believe that the action was appropriate? That's the standard that this court put forth in Vento. It's concede that good faith is not enough. It must be an objectively reasonable belief. You don't, however, an officer doesn't need probable cause to pull a car over. They only need reasonable suspicion. And once that dispatcher said that those plates were expired, and I think it's also important that the officer testified he had never run into a situation that he faced at that point in time. He had never had a dispatcher report to him plates were expired and then find valid plates on a car. I think that goes to support the officer's objectively reasonable belief that he could rely on the information from the dispatcher. The court, however, found that the stop and arrest was invalid because the officer acted upon, as you pointed out, Justice Sinner, inaccurate information in the computer, which said that the sticker was expired. The trial court did, however, find that the officer was told the sticker and the plate were expired. That's finding of fact 4. So the trial court acknowledged that the officer had received information that would, in the state's view, justify the officer pulling the defendant over. Based upon that information, the officer had reason to believe that the defendant was in violation of SDCL 32-5-2.4, a Class 2 misdemeanor, driving with invalid plates.
Based on the information, and he pulls him over and stops. Now, that's subjective on the officer's part, isn't it? Because he thinks... but incorrectly, that the plates have expired based on what he saw and based on the computer report.
The trial court's findings were that he incorrectly believed that the plates were invalid.
Right. So, and what he thinks subjectively is immaterial, isn't it?
That's right.
All right. But then he makes a stop and he goes up to the car and he wipes off the license plate. Now he sees that there's valid tags there, a valid tag, right?
Right.
It's not expired.
Right.
So now, has he got an objective? He's got a mixed subjective, objective frame of mind, doesn't he?
He is confused at that point in time. I don't know if that's what the court's asking, but the officer testified he was confused at that point in time because he had conflicting information.
Except didn't he accept in his mind the objective finding that the tag was valid? I mean, he saw the tag and it was for the current year and...
He admitted that, yes. The officer admitted during the motion hearing that he looked at the license plate and the tag was valid. And I think his testimony was he was confused. He had, quite frankly, conflicting information. He had a dispatcher saying that the plates were expired, but there was a valid tag, and he had never run across that situation before.
Okay, once he made that observation of a valid tag, was the stop extended any further?
Well, this court has held that an officer is entitled to question somebody that they pull over, inquire of them, inquire under De La Rosa, I believe it was, this court acknowledge that an officer can do an investigatory detention stop. And the officer's testimony was that he wanted to explain to the defendant why he had pulled him over because he had conflicting information. And he goes to the door or the window to tell the defendant what's going on, and he immediately notices the glassy eyes and detects the odor of alcohol. And I don't think that once once he saw those valid tags, it would be inappropriate for him to go talk to the defendant rather than just get back into his car and drive away without ever having talked to the defendant. This court has certainly said that an officer is justified in conducting a brief investigatory stop once they stop an individual, and they can request a driver's license and vehicle registration and proof of insurance. And that's what ended up happening, and in the course of that, Officer Toomey started suspecting that the defendant was under the influence of alcohol and called additional officers to the stand or to the stop, and they did some field sobriety tests, I believe, and they concluded that he was under the influence, and he was subsequently arrested for DUI and driving under revocation.
Well, you know, the bottom line is whether an inaccuracy is going to set aside reasonable suspicion, and it seems like the courts are somewhat split. I mean, how do you address People versus Jennings and the Mackey case and the McElhaney case?
Well, defendant no doubt relies on those cases. My distinguishing factor there is in those cases, the arrest was based on stale and inaccurate information, which obviously is a probable cause standard. Here we have probably inaccurate information. That's what the trial court did find. That was the basis for the stop. The question is, was it still reasonable for the officer, objectively reasonable for the officer, to rely on that information he received from the dispatcher in order to conduct a stop? He was not arrested, however, on inaccurate, stale false computer information. He was arrested based upon the information the officer observed at the scene of the stop. It went from the stop was not the basis for the, I'm not going to say that right. He was stopped for an expired plate. Once the defendant was stopped, however, the investigation turned into a DUI investigation because the officer obviously is entitled to rely on what he sees. As a police officer, he has a responsibility to ensure that laws are not being broken, and finding a driver under the influence, he certainly wasn't in a position that he could ignore that information that he found.
But if we reverse and approve the stop, aren't we in effect rewarding the state and its various agents for either sloppy computer work or negligence in computer work or at least inattention? For mistakes, really.
Well, the record unfortunately isn't clear as to what happened and why those plates were reported as expired.
Yeah, but you can't put on defendant the obligation to prove all that. I mean, just exactly what went wrong.
I agree.
But let's go back to the question. Wouldn't we be rewarding sloppy work? Wouldn't we be rewarding either negligence or inattention to accuracy?
Well, I would choose not to believe you're rewarding it. This certainly isn't an issue that's come before the court on very many occasions. What actually happened, we don't know. The record, unfortunately, doesn't clear that up for us.
No, but I'm talking about the result. I mean, it was inaccurate. If we say the stop was okay, aren't we rewarding the inaccuracy? Aren't we rewarding negligence or inattention to detail?
I think what you're doing is, if you reverse the trial court, is acknowledging what this court has acknowledged time and time again. An officer on the beat is entitled to rely on information if it's trustworthy. And this, I think it's fair for the state to argue that this was trustworthy, the information. It's not something that the officer had ever happened before where he had gotten information from the dispatcher which may not be accurate. And the officer, we have to look at whether the officer was objectively reasonable for that officer to rely on the information that he received from the dispatcher at that time.
All right, we're talking about a judge-made rule of suppression. Does an inaccurate database support the purposes that are behind the suppression rule?
It's my argument that it doesn't. Obviously, I'm not here to condone inaccurate databases, and I'm not here to argue that it's that they shouldn't be accurate. Of course they should be accurate. Where that fault lies, I do not know. I don't know where the problem arose. That's not clear from the record.
Well, on a related issue then, why isn't good faith expressed in this record? I don't see any discussion of the good faith exception to the exclusionary rule.
I think under the law, the officer was entitled to stop this defendant based upon the information they had, and that it was a valid stop and it was a valid arrest. Maybe that's something I should have argued. I didn't, because I think under the law and this court's precedent that the officer was entitled to do what he did and the trial court should not have suppressed the evidence. Under Vento and De La Rosa and Wilcox, the officer certainly, I don't think anyone here is going to argue that the officer did anything wrong. I think the record shows that the officer's actions were very reasonable. He pulled this individual over based upon information he received from a dispatcher. Now, whether that was accurate or not is not as clear in the record as it could have been.
Your time has expired. Thank you.
Surely the door didn't get closed.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Bratland, you have 20 minutes, sir.
Morning. May it please the court, counsel. I want to talk a little bit about reasonable suspicion to stop a vehicle because I believe the officer did do something wrong. If I was driving to court this morning through a school zone, going 45 miles an hour in front of a police officer, here's what would have happened. The officer would have activated his lights, pulled me over, put me in his vehicle, and then contacted dispatch. That's the order in which that would have happened. If I was driving here yesterday on the highway and crossed the center line, jeopardizing the lives of other people, the same thing would have happened. The officer would have hit the lights, pulled me over, put me in his vehicle, and then contacted dispatch. In this particular case, that didn't happen in that order. The officer followed this vehicle at 1:42 in the morning, a yellow Firebird on snow-packed roads, and the vehicle was going 10 miles per hour. The reason the vehicle was pulled over was nothing to do with the defendant's driving whatsoever. The officer followed this vehicle, did not observe anything. The state today talks about the officer having a responsibility to make certain no laws were broken. There were no laws broken. But then we get to the problem in this case. The officer wanted to stop this vehicle. It was 1:42 in the morning. We know that people may be drinking and driving at 1:42 in the morning. But he had no reasonable suspicion to stop the vehicle. None whatsoever. Or he would have. He would have stopped the vehicle, put Marty Muller in his car, and then contacted dispatch. But instead he created a situation that allows him to say, there's a mistake made and it's not my fault. He testified at the suppression hearing. It's one of the findings. Number 7, I believe it is, that he acknowledged he does not stop vehicles because he cannot see stickers on the license plate during a snowstorm. He doesn't even call them in. It's South Dakota. There's snow on license plate. There's snow on stickers. So why does he single out the yellow Firebird at 1:42 in the morning? I can't see that sticker. I should check on that. The message that sends to the public is this. I want to see who's driving that vehicle. I want to see who that person is.
Isn't there a case out of Sioux Falls that Justice Amundson and I dissented to that where the officer the officer's stop was approved where I think it was about 1 o'clock at night or so, I'm not sure, but the officer stopped this vehicle because he was driving so slow that he thought he needed medical attention and had no other reason for stopping him. I mean, he wasn't deviating from the line of traffic, he wasn't doing anything. And even though the officer didn't use that here, does that permit a stop, that case?
Well, I think under those facts, that may permit a stop. In this case, the officer, this wasn't like that. This officer here wanted to stop this vehicle. and he was bound and determined to figure out a way to stop him. If he had a reasonable suspicion, he would have stopped it.
But that's irrelevant under Chavez and in a whole number of our cases. What the officer really wanted to do, and whether he observes something that's appears to be illegal or two separate deals.
I understand. In this situation, I don't like the fact that the state can come here and then rely on incorrect information from dispatch, and they requested that information. They singled out this person. Why didn't he call everybody that night that was driving at 1:42 in the morning? I couldn't see any of the stickers. I couldn't see any of the license plate. Why did he single this person out? He didn't have.
Did the officer testify to that? That he couldn't see any license plates that night? Or is that your spin on it?
He testified that he couldn't see this person's license plate.
All right.
And the stickers.
Okay.
That's correct.
But you're implying that the officer singled him out and was ignoring everybody else's license plates. Is there any evidence in the record to support that?
Just that he followed this vehicle and couldn't stop him until he requested dispatch to give him information.
All right.
Well, you see, was it an honest mistake that he got this information, or are you suggesting that somehow he knew that the dispatcher would give him something inaccurate, which he could use to stop the car?
Oh, I think that it was an honest mistake that the officer stopped the vehicle based on information he received. I don't know why he requested that information. I have no idea why he requested that information.
Well, we see stops every day where the police officer checks a license plate before they initiate the stop. That's very routine.
I understand, but that didn't happen in this case. It was 1:42 in the morning. He followed this vehicle for several blocks. He tried to say at the suppression hearing, because the state's attorney was asking those questions, well, you noticed that the exhaust was loud, wasn't it? Well, yeah, kind of. And it was going 10 miles an hour. See, the state's attorney knows there's problems with this. That's why he's asking those questions, trying to get the officer to say, that's why I stopped him. But that's not what happened. The officer testified at the suppression hearing, the sole purpose for the stop was the inaccurate information he received from dispatch.
Suppose the state's attorney would object to you speaking for him?
I suppose he would.
I imagine he would.
But if you read the suppression transcript, you can see exactly that. He's asking those questions. And I didn't object because I knew I'd have a chance to ask questions of the officer. And the officer is a very honest officer. And he testified the sole purpose for stopping that vehicle was none other than the information he received from dispatch.
So he had no problem with this person driving 10 miles an hour because it was icy and snowy?
That's one of the findings.
Okay.
Okay, let's assume that the stop was okay, but that when he went up to the license plate and he brushed the snow off, then he could see a current tag. So now he knows basically the stop was not okay, right?
Right.
Okay, now what's an officer to do, assuming those facts, what's an officer to do at that point? Should he just leave the citizen in the lurch and just get back in his car and drive away? Or should he go to the window and explain to him he made a mistake and, oh my God, you're drunk? What should an officer do at that point?
Well, fortunately for the state, they have to explain why the vehicle is stopped. So the state can always do that. The state can always stop the vehicle. If the information turns out to be false, we know we can't just have the officer get back in the car and drive away and have the defendant wondering what happened there. So the state knows that if they get inaccurate information and nobody's held accountable, you wipe it off and you go up there and sure, it's 1:42 in the morning, you're going to get the standard response from the officer, bloodshot, glossy eyes, smell of alcohol, things like that. So they know that if there's no accountability in that system, they can always say that. What were we supposed to do? We had to stop.
Was that the argument that you made to Judge Tim that was the most effective, if you know?
You know, I don't know what was most effective because I submitted a brief in this case and served on the state, and the state did not reply to that brief. 2 weeks went by and nothing happened. And then the court ruled in our favor, and based on the findings, I would say the court believes that the mistake was made and the reliance on inaccurate information should be such that the state should be held accountable for that.
Okay, if you concede that the officer was appropriately going to tell the driver why he stopped him. And the window goes down and he smells the alcohol and he sees the bloodshot eyes. Is the officer simply supposed to walk away then?
He can't walk away then. He has an obligation to. I mean, if he comes to that vehicle and the person's driving and they think the person's drunk, he has to further the investigation.
All right. And maybe I'm not following your argument then, because I understand you said that once the officer stopped the vehicle and discovered that the tag was valid, he then had an obligation to explain to the driver why he pulled him over. And is that, am I hearing you correctly?
Right.
So what did the officer do wrong?
He called in this plate. Why would he call this plate in? I don't understand. And I don't believe that the stop should have occurred in the first place because there's inaccurate information from dispatch. And it's all about accountability. If we're all accountable for what we're doing, why isn't the state accountable for this information they gave it to me?
You know, that's probably the fundamental issue here. You use the word accountable, and that's the same word that the trial judge used. And the question is that what the exclusionary rule was adopted for? Was it adopted to make people accountable? Was it adopted to deter police conduct? And how does that rule serve the ruling of the trial court in this case?
Judge Tim, in his findings, believes that there was a mistake made, that dispatch, somewhere along the line, this person paid for tags, put them on the vehicle, the stickers, and should never have been stopped in the first place. And when you look at the record, we see in the suppression transcript that when the officer called in the request to dispatch, when he approached the vehicle, that the stickers were valid. There's no doubt about that. The stickers were valid. And the state did nothing else to present evidence about whose fault it was. The burden is not ours to show whose fault it was. When the state today talks about Marty Mueller saying things, he didn't testify at the suppression hearing. Marty Mueller didn't testify.
Well, again, I got to have you answer this. Does an honest mistake justify application of the exclusionary rule?
Well, I just don't think they should have called it in the first place. I mean, I can't answer that to help my client. I just don't think that they should have called in that when they couldn't see part of a license plate or a sticker. And then be able to hide behind all these arguments today that, well, what's the officer supposed to do?
So you're suggesting it's not an honest mistake?
I think the fact that he received information that was inaccurate, it was an honest mistake that he stopped the vehicle. It certainly wasn't the officer's fault, the information he received. And he didn't make that up. But I don't understand why he did that to begin with. I don't understand why he'd single this vehicle out. And I think I know the answer. It's because he didn't have a reasonable suspicion to stop the vehicle.
So the premise of your argument then is that it should be suppressed because an officer has no right to call in and check a license plate. That's essentially what I hear you to be arguing.
It just bothers me that you can follow a vehicle for that long in the morning and not stop it, and not have a reasonable suspicion to stop it, and then say, how can I stop this vehicle? I mean, if the state today talks about the officer's responsibility to make sure laws aren't broken, there were no laws broken. None whatsoever. And it bothers me that instead of turning right when the defendant turned left and seeing if laws were broken, we had to just follow this guy around. And then say, well, here's law enforcement knows this. If they rely on inaccurate information and they stop that vehicle and wipe the tag off, they can talk to the defendant, the driver, and explain to them why they were stopped. It just sends a bad message to the public when you have officers looking for crimes that are not being committed, and if they can't stop somebody, how can I stop this guy? It just sends a bad message. Why even call in that license plate? When he testified at the suppression hearing, he does not call in to dispatch for every person that he can't see the license plate on in the winter that are covered with snow. It's one of the findings. He doesn't do that. But yet he had to do that in this case. And I think if you reverse Judge Tim, you're doing two things. You're rewarding the officer for finding a crime that night, because he didn't see one, for finding that dispatch sent information to him. You're rewarding that conduct. I'm not sure that's what you want to do, is reward that conduct. When they're driving along, observing vehicles, and nobody's committing crimes, and then they single Marty Mueller out and say, let me see what the status of this license is. You're rewarding that, and you're rewarding, I don't want to say incompetency, but somewhere along the line, somebody put bad information into that system that was relied on by the officer. I don't want the state to be able to rely on that information. I have no problem with Officer Toomey. He's a very good officer. I have a lot of cases with him. In this particular case, the thing I think he did wrong was the mistake initiated with the state, not my client, and it was because Officer Toomey called in and said, tell me about this vehicle. I can only assume that there were many other vehicles on the road that morning that he couldn't see the license plates on, and couldn't see the stickers on, and he testified that he does not stop vehicles when he can't see the license plate or the stickers, and he doesn't call them in. But he wanted to stop this Firebird at 1:42 in the morning, and he didn't have a reasonable suspicion to do so.
How do you distinguish the Vermont and Iowa cases that are cited in the briefs?
Again, I think that in this particular case, the officer did this thing. He called it in. Other cases that are cited by the state talk about computer inaccuracies and talk about stale information. This case, the officer initiated this whole situation we have today. He did that. No other case I've seen the officer had done that. He did that. He said, I want to find out some information about this. Other cases, there's stale or inaccurate information in the computer system that's relied on by law enforcement. Here, he says, I can't stop this vehicle, but I want to stop this vehicle, and I want to find out how I can do it. Thank you.
No one has ever chastised for sitting down early. Thank you, Mr. Bratlin. Ms. Sundenwald, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you. May it please the court. I think it's important that we look at the court's findings of fact. In the court's finding 4, the court found that Officer Toomey was unable to view the sticker on the defendant's license plate, so he called in the license plate. I think it is not unusual for officers to look to see if there's valid plates on stickers, or valid stickers on a license plate. To suggest that that's an unusual occurrence is, I think, probably a stretch. Unfortunately, I can vouch for that does happen. Officers do look to see if there's valid stickers on plates. And that's why I think this officer called in the plate to see if it was valid. And when he called in that plate, he found that dispatch said it's not valid. Finding of fact 4, first is where he said he was looking to see if the sticker on the plate was valid. And it's 1:42 in the morning. I think the officer did start following this vehicle. He said it started taking a lot of unusual turns, so he continued to follow the vehicle. Once he was following the vehicle and he found out the plates were expired, that's when he attempted to pull the vehicle over.
Was there any evidence at all that the defendant was aware of the officer behind him and that's the reason he took the diversionary route?
I don't think there's any evidence one way or the other on that, Your Honor. I don't recall anything in the record in that regard. And then we need to look at conclusion of Law 6. The trial court said a computer inaccuracy, even if unintended of this nature, amounts to a capricious disregard for the rights of the defendant as a citizen of the United States. So I think with that conclusion of law, it's fair to say that the trial court was not trying to insinuate bad faith on the part of the state. The trial court found that there was a computer inaccuracy. There's no question about that. The question is, in my mind anyway, under this court's case law, was it fair and reasonable for the officer to rely on that information when he elected to pull the defendant over? And I submit to the court it was. This, as the officer said, was an a one-time experience for him. He had never had dispatcher tell him plates were expired and then find valid plates. He wasn't certain about what to do. I think that's a fair read of the record. And he went to talk to the defendant because of the confusion with what he was finding. And at that point in time, I don't think he could ignore what he saw and smelled.
Did you object to that finding number 6 or propose your own?
The state did not, as I recall, object to those findings. Well, I take that back. They filed a motion for reconsideration, and
that's
the
not
court,
an objection to the finding, is it?
No. I mean, I think what the state did in the record was file the motion for reconsideration, which was denied. That was the extent of what happened below.
Well, the operative language, though, I mean, the pivotal language in the trial court's decision is a conclusion of law, not a finding of fact. It's a conclusion that an inaccurate database justifies suppression of evidence, essentially.
I think that's right, Your Honor. I think you're right. I think that's what the trial court was finding. The trial court certainly didn't find bad faith on the part of the officer. What the trial court found is there was a computer inaccuracy which led the officer to initially pull over the vehicle. And of course, from the state's perspective, was that a sufficient basis to suppress the evidence? I would submit to the court that it is not. I would submit to the court that we look at what the officer knew at the time. The officers could not see if there was a valid sticker on that plate, so he called the plate in. Something that I think officers do fairly routinely. He was told that the plate was expired, so he initiated a stop. Once he initiated the stop, he found a defendant that was under the influence of alcohol. I think Justice Sinner has fairly categorized it. The court found that the computer inaccuracy constituted capricious disregard for the rights of the defendant as a citizen of the United States. We would maintain that even if it was inaccurate, it was appropriate for the officer to rely on that information he had received.
Okay. The state's attorney, you didn't try the case.
No.
And the state's attorney, this goes to the statements you just made about that other finding that the trial court found there was no bad faith on the part of the officer. But conversely, that doesn't convert to a finding or a conclusion that there was good faith, that the officer acted in good faith either, does it?
There's no finding of good faith on the record that I recall. I don't think it's an issue that was raised.
So that issue's waived, and the only issue then is goes to the computer inaccuracy.
The officer did, I think it's fair to say that the court somewhat went out of its way to acknowledge that it was an unintended computer inaccuracy. The court did insert that language into its conclusion, a computer inaccuracy even if unintended. So I don't think the court was finding that any state agency was attempting to disregard somebody's constitutional statutory rights.
There's no finding of bad faith on the part of any of the state's agents or the state?
No, not in the record that I recall. It was, the court just concluded that because it appeared to the court that the computer information was inaccurate, the officer lacked reasonable suspicion to pull over the defendant. Of course, it's the state's position that the officer was entitled to rely on that information. It was reasonably objective. It was trustworthy. The officer had never received untrustworthy information from the dispatcher in the past. And once he pulled the vehicle over and found the defendant under the influence, it was a proper arrest, and the evidence should not have been suppressed.
Okay.
Completed.
Thank you. Let's see, we've got a couple minutes before we ordinarily would end. Trooper Thorson, would you come forward, please? Uh, Trooper Thorson has provided security for this court since the day the Highway Patrol assumed that responsibility. This will be his last term with us as he's retiring. We would like to thank you for your faithful service and wish you the best in the future. And remind you that these hearings are open to the public should you wish to come back as a civilian and listen to more. Thank you. We're in recess until 10 o'clock.